I had a message planned that I was going to use John chapter 21, the story of when Peter and the disciples, after the resurrection of Jesus, had been fishing all night and had caught nothing, and Jesus tells them to cast the net on the other side of the boat. And I've been working on that message, and I knew it was too long to fit into this morning. And so what I want to do this morning is do a kind of a setup message. When you think of a pitcher, he wants to strike out a batter, he'll throw a few down the inside and crowd the batter off the plate, and then he'll throw one on the outside, and hopefully that will fool the batter enough. I guess I'm not trying to fool you, but I'm trying to set up the situation. So the message next week is on that passage, and I'm going to title it something like, I'm not totally sure yet where it's going to go totally, but the idea of moving from our own self-sufficient attitudes. They had fished all night, caught nothing, and then threw the net on the other side of the boat. It was Christ-directed, and they found in Jesus the sufficiency as they did what he commanded them to do. The nets were full. And so I think there's processes in our lives that God takes us from that self-dependency, that fishing ourselves and catching nothing, to that place where we say, Jesus, what is it that you have for me, and what is it you're asking me to do? And that place, hopefully, of abundance and fruitfulness and making a difference in the kingdom of God. So that's where I want to go next week. And so with that, I'm just going to do a little bit of a setup. And so I've entitled my little devotional today, The Sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And I think there's no passage in Scripture that would demonstrate or give us that full-length portrait of how Jesus is sufficient than Colossians chapter 1. I think there are maybe some other passages that might rival it, Revelation chapter 1, that gives us this full-length portrait of Jesus. But I'd like to just take for a few minutes, I'd like to read a little more than what's written in the text I've given you in the bulletin. Was starting to read at verse 15, but I'd like to start reading at verse 9. And just make a few comments, and remembering with the backdrop of this is that as we walk with him, as we obey him and listen to his voice, that he can fill our nets with the fish that he wants us to catch in our lives. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. I think one of the main goals of the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians, in the letter to Colossae, was that they would somehow find the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So he paints this picture of Christ's supremacy. He's the creator of all things. He has dominion over all things. He's created the visible and the invisible. He is the one and only one who could redeem and bring about salvation. Now, I've told this story before, or this account before, but I think it really helps me to put this all into context, and so I'd like to share it again, and because it's so much of who I am, and what really shapes and forms my life, I think it's important for me to share it. It was years ago. I know exactly where I was. It was in Larivière, in the living room of the house I was living in. And I was reading Romans chapter 4, and Romans chapter 4 is a story of Abraham's faith, and it says that Abraham was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith, and he gave glory to God. And as I was reflecting and meditating on that, I said, God, that's what I want to be. We are children of Abraham in that sense. We're called to be people of faith. We're called to be people who believe God. And in order for us to truly believe God, we have to understand His sufficiency in all things. We need to believe in our hearts that He is able to do all things, that when we pray to Him, that He is capable of answering those prayers. He is capable of doing those things that we're asking Him to do, and at least those that are in accordance to His will. And so I was asking God, I said, God, I realized that I would probably have to be called weak in faith. How can I move at least to somewhere on that continuum? If Abraham is defined as he moved from not being weak in faith, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, how can I move from here to there? And God's Spirit just spoke to me so clearly, and He said this: in order for you to move from from weak faith to strong faith, you have to see Jesus Christ as He is. And you have to see yourself as He sees you. That was a life-changing thing for me. It's very simple. It's very basic. It's basic Christianity. But then the phrase came to my heart: this is the message of Colossians. And as I've looked at Colossians, the 1 year between the two churches, between Crystal City and here, I took some time, personal time, to study and to really reflect on this in my own life. It was a transition time for me, and I asked myself the question: am I really seeing Jesus the way He is? Am I really seeing Him the way Scripture portrays Him? And I sometimes wonder how many times I see, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, we see through a glass darkly. We do not see the whole picture. We do not see completely. And Colossians chapter 1, the passage we just read, gives us this picture of Jesus who has dominion over all the principalities and powers. He has created all things. So if He's created all things, He's able to, and He holds all things together by the word of His power. He's able to hold my life together. He's able to bring His creative miracles, extension of His kingdom into those areas of my life that I'm looking for Him to do. And so in all of this, I just want to remind us again that the Jesus we look to in prayer, the Jesus we trust in our lives, is the one who hears our prayers and can answer those. Do we really believe in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ? And this passage tells us that He is sufficient to reveal the invisible God to us. He is the creator of all things. He is the one who has redeemed us, the only one that could redeem us and call us to Himself. So in all of this, I'm just going to challenge us again to look at Scripture, and that calls us to see Jesus Christ as Scripture reveals Himself to be, and that when we read that portion that says, looking unto Jesus, are we really seeing the Jesus that Scripture calls us to look to? And sometimes we diminish Him, sometimes we have a distorted view of what He might look like, but let's pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to see Jesus as He really is. But the other part, I think, is almost as important. It's throughout Colossians as well, that my life is hidden with Christ in God, that I am complete in Him. And so to see not only Jesus as he is, but to see myself as he sees me. Now, I have a distorted view of myself. It might be inflated with ego and pride. It might be deflated with a false humility that doesn't come from God. There's all kinds of things that mess up how we view ourselves as well. And so Scripture calls us to see ourselves as he sees us. And so I would just like to give you one verse in that area. Verse 22 says, "Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach." That's how he sees us. That's how he has presented us before God, holy and blameless and without reproach. That's why the enemy seeks to accuse us and to take us from that position in Christ. So we're going to leave this here this morning, but just with thinking of this week, I just ask you to think about the sufficiency of Jesus for whatever you face in life. Whatever your challenge, whatever your trial, whatever your circumstances are, he is sufficient. He has what you need. And it's as we're connected to him that we find that. Colossians reminds us that we need to be careful of the philosophies of men and the philosophies of our age. They are not sufficient to help us, but we find that sufficiency in Jesus Christ. So next week we're going to look at John chapter 21 and that account of the disciples who, in some sense, they were dependent on themselves. They said, "We know how to fish. We just go out there and catch fish." And God stripped it away from them, and they could do nothing on their own. And Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." And all of a sudden, at the word of Jesus, he says, "Cast the net on the other side." And they found that he was sufficient, and all of a sudden, this net was full of fish. So we'll talk a little bit about moving from our own dependence on our own selves to dependence on the all-sufficient Jesus. So keep this picture in your mind as we think of that for next week, and we'll get part two of that next week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing things you're doing in Cambodia. Thank you, Lord, for faithful churches, for faithful leaders that proclaim Christ and reach out to the children and the youth of that nation. Thank you, Lord, for the children you are raising up that will, in their time, become leaders in their communities and in their country. And God, we thank you for ministries that are doing this. We thank you for Children's Camps International and Ray and his team that are working at mentoring these leaders and helping them to further the gospel. And Jesus, as we provide and as we seek to partner with them in giving, God, we just ask that you would enable us to, in greater and greater ways, Lord, see your kingdom come and to see your kingdom work spread through the world. And Lord, we bless you and thank you for that. And Lord, as we in our own personal lives, in our work lives, and in every area of our lives, we look to you, God, realizing that you are the sufficient one, that in Jesus we have everything we need for life and godliness. Whether it's the sin issues we're struggling with, whether it's the spiritual warfares we're struggling with, whether it's somebody at work we're struggling with, whatever it is, whatever we need for life and godliness, Lord, the answer is found in you. In Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And God, we ask that you would help us to discover and help us, O God, to appropriate and receive. In Jesus' name, amen.